You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Tale of a Yellow Bike showed yesterday at the Projecting Change Film Festival in Vancouver. This feature-length documentary looks at an innovative bike-sharing program in Toronto and explores bike culture in cities as diverse as Bogota, Colombia, and Beijing. Tina Hahn directed the film, and she joins me in the studio this morning. Hi, Tina.
Good morning.
Now, how did the original bike-sharing project in Toronto work?
Well, it was a membership-based program where you signed up for a $25 a year membership, and then you got access to the bikes. They had an online booking program near the end where you could book online. You'd take the bike out for 2 days, you'd bring it back, and they kept track of the bikes in that way.
And all the bikes were stored in a central location?
They had 16 different hubs across the city, but the problem was, you know, the hubs weren't 24 hours, 7 days a week, so you'd have to make sure you were going at a time when somebody was at the hub to give you the bike.
Right. And then the yellow bike, I guess they were all painted yellow.
It was a way to discourage thieves, because yellow, when they started the program 10 years ago, wasn't a common color for bicycles. It's very much like in Amsterdam, they painted all the bikes white. The yellow in the Toronto bikes was inspired by a program in Austin, Texas, that we weren't able to go and film. If I'd known that traveling to Bogota was through Texas, I would have arranged for it. But the yellow came from the yellow bike program in Austin, Texas.
And all the bikes had names.
I know. There's, I think one of my favorite names was Green Jade, which was a bicycle that was named after Olivia Chow, Jack Layton's wife.
And what kind of people participated in the program?
Well, this is the interesting thing, is the program was initiated to help lower-income people have access to bicycles. But as I found traveling to other programs around the world, it's people who are middle to upper class, university educated, and often white, who are participating in these programs because they have enough environmental background to know the importance of bicycles in terms of changing the environment and creating an impact on our transportation.
Now, what would the difference be between a bike sharing program and a program which would make bikes available to people with low income at a very low cost that then they could have as their own?
Well, that's what bike share developed into after the bicycles ended. I mean, what the bike share program was important is it gave people who didn't have room to store a bike. And this is, I mean, there's a very, you know, multitude of reasons why you need a program. In New York, you need a program because people don't have room to store their bikes and often discard their bikes because there's no room to store it. In Toronto, you often, if you're especially low income, right, when you're thinking about what you can afford in Toronto in terms of housing, it's really hard to find room to store your bike or store it safely so it's not stolen all the time, right? So, you know, I forget your original question now.
That's exactly it. It's like, why would they want to be in a bike sharing program rather than have their own bike? And that was something that hadn't occurred to me, is actually having somewhere to put the bike.
Having somewhere to put the bike, having someone to maintain it. I mean, what they figured out, it was costing over $600 a year to maintain the bike share fleet. Right? And that's for 150 users. Well, no, I think the user base was bigger, but the number of bikes was 150. Right? So for a lot less money, after bike share ended, what they did is created a bike recycling program, very much what, like you were suggesting, so that they could give bikes to people who needed bikes for a very low cost. And they were able to distribute 150 bikes. Right, over the summer. Same number of bikes they had in bike share, but they didn't have the $600 cost a year to maintain that bicycle anymore.
Well, one of the early scenes in the film is of the general meeting where they decide to fold bike share. That's a kind of a sad moment.
Well, it was a very ironic moment for me because I'd been trying to get funding for the film for 8 years for the full duration of the program, and I finally had a maybe from a broadcaster, and Magosha Pajor, the bicycle bike share manager, called me up and said, "Tina, we're having a meeting 2 dates from now. You got to come. We're closing the program down." And so the first filming dates I had for the program were the program closing down. And, you know, and then the money was confirmed after that, like months after that. So, you know, the film had to take a derivative leap from what it was supposed to be. And I think it's made it stronger because it's become an analysis of why can't bike share work in North America? Why do we have such a problem with bikes that we can't actually consider them as part of the transportation chain? And that's, I think, why the film is resonating with people so much, because it is asking those hard questions and showing successes that are happening in the third world, like Bogota, Colombia, you know, in China, in France. It's, you know, the shift is happening other places than North America. What is our problem, and why is car culture so prevalent here that we can't get a bike, like the most successful bike sharing program in North America was bike share. It's now no more.
So what kind of answers did you get to that question in the course of making the film, as why it's not, why it didn't work?
Well, I mean, I think we can see it in the response to these bailout packages where we're bailing out our automakers, you know, before we bail out, you know. We're cutting, Harper's just announced some interesting changes to cultural policy here in Canada that will make documentaries potentially endangered species on our airwaves. And no one's saying anything about that because we're all worried about the automakers getting their bailout and those thousands of jobs being saved when there's thousands of jobs in, you know, the cultural industries that are about to be lost. Setting our priorities as a society.
You mentioned Bogota, and that was, I wasn't aware of the extent of the cycle program in Bogota. Can you just outline what happens there?
Well, I think the success of cycling in Bogota comes from a very strong commitment from civil leaders to create things like Ciclovia, which is every Sunday they close 100 kilometers of roadway down so that people take back their streets. And Bogota was a place where you had to worry about being taken as a hostage, where you had to be worried about drive-by shootings, and we felt very safe in the new Bogota. And we had a great time in Bogota. It was our favorite place that we visited. And that, I think, comes back to the question of ownership. If everybody's hiding in their house and is afraid to come out, if the children can't play on the streets, if people aren't engaging with their neighbors, which cycling allows people to do and being pedestrians allows people to do, you have a disintegration in your society. And maybe that lies at the heart of why bike share had such a rough ride in Toronto, is, you know, our energy is focused very much on creating these ways for people to exist without contacting each other.
Mm.
You know, and bicycling brings people together, as do other forms of, you know, sustainable transportation, like walking, right? Because you're seeing people on the streets, you're taking the time to stop and talk to your neighbor. When you just get into your garage, get into your car to your work, drive into that garage, get out of your car there, go up the elevator, you're not engaging with anyone outside of your house or outside of your work.
There was a very interesting contrast in Bogota between the weekday cyclists mm-hmm. and the weekend cyclists.
Yeah.
And the weekday cyclists were the poor people.
Yes.
Who were struggling to get, you had a few shots of them struggling to get through traffic. And
I don't know if you noticed, they were traveling in groups, because what happens on these new cycle routes that they have constructed is that people will actually come in, if you're a single cyclist, they'll mug you for your bike. So they travel in groups of like 10 to 20 people. Just to stay safe. And so there's whole security issues around, you know, cycling in Bogota. But, you know, the whole notion of bicycles as only recreation is something we face here in North America. I'm sure you face it in Vancouver, where people only think about cycling when they think about taking their bicycle out on the weekend, going into the backcountry and, you know, doing some off-roading on some delicate, fragile, ecological land, rather than thinking about they are actually on a vehicle. And I think one of the big things that has to happen in North America is that cyclists have to accept and take responsibility for the fact they are vehicles, and respect the cars and pedestrians that are around them. And that's how I think we'll gain enough respectability for cycling to actually become a formidable way of transportation.
What kinds of things do you think that we can learn from the bike share program that will kind of carry over into our whole kind of way of seeing bicycles?
Well, you know, it was really interesting having Magosha come to the screening yesterday because she's studying here at Simon Fraser. And, you know, because she's studying to work on her master's of sustainable transportation, she's looking outside in at programs like Bike Share. And she said, you know, we never had a business plan for Bike Share past year one. And so we never thought about how to keep the board rejuvenated, how to keep, you know, new funding sources coming into the project. We just got kind of caught in a rut, you know, where if we had the time, because it takes time and money to develop a business plan, you know, if we had been able to develop a business plan and create revisions so that the program could grow, maybe it would have had a different end.
Where can people see the film? I know it was in Vancouver last night. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we couldn't get you before the film. But yeah. Is it going to be, can people find it somewhere?
We've just been invited to Eco Cinema in Israel. So that's the next stop for the film. But it will be airing on Omni Television in the fall. In English, Mandarin, and Spanish, and I'll let you know when that will. We'll keep in touch via email, and I'll let you know when it's going to air.
Okay, and we'll let people know about that. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
I've been speaking with Tina Hahn. She's the director of Tale of a Yellow Bike, and we've been speaking about Toronto's Bike Share program. The film screened yesterday at the Projecting Change Film Festival. The festival continues through the weekend at the Fifth Avenue Theatre, and their website is projectingchange.ca. Okay.